Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to OneSpatial's interim results presentation. I'm Claire Milverton, CEO of OneSpatial, and I'm joined today by Andy Fabian, our CFO. I can't emphasise enough what an exciting time this is for OneSpatial. The growing need for nations to have accurate location data to plan for things such as net zero is so important. And at OneSpatial, we're absolutely in the right position to capitalise on this. Before presenting on the main topic of the day, which is our half-year results, I'd just like to spend a few minutes on an overview of OneSpatial, what location data is all about and what we do. Our vision at OneSpatial is that our software solutions and applications unlock the value of our data for our customers for a safer, smarter, and more sustainable world. We have operations globally, and we have an excellent customer base with over 1,000 customers, from large government agencies to commercial customers such as Google. And we have no one customer dominance, which is good from a risk perspective. We work with some powerful partners who are key to our growth strategy. And we've added a number of new high-quality partners in this half year. And finally, we have some industry-leading, world-class patented technology, which enables us to deliver some unique and powerful solutions to our clients. Location data underpins all of the world around us. And at OneSpatial, our software unlocks the value in this data to tackle real-world issues. Everything in the world is changing, the green agenda, the need to invest in infrastructure, and the need to support a fully digital society. We need to plan for electric vehicles, for example, where to put the charging points, and plan for infrastructure for other green energy sources. We need to maintain the nation's flood defences, and we need to maintain utility assets underground to prevent accidental strikes, which cause billions of pounds of losses to the UK economy. To do all of this, you need digital accurate maps to know where your assets are now and, importantly, plan for the future. It is now critical to have good quality, accurate location data, which you can use internally and share externally with other companies and government agencies. OneSpatial software for location master data management can help nations, governments, and companies by checking and correcting location data accuracy, to make decisions and provide a data gateway portal to enable data sharing. We are achieving a gear change in our growth, and significant wins will underpin acceleration for future growth. We've got some great stats on this slide, such as 80% increase in license revenue, 48% growth in our key geography, the US. And Andy can take you through these in a bit more detail in a moment. But what I'd really like to get across to you is that we made a board decision at the beginning of the year that we needed to invest in OneSpatial to get double-digit and transformational growth in the long term. We could see the market potential was there, so we needed to capitalise on it. So that's what we've been doing. We've invested in sales, pre-sales, technology, and using the delivery team, which would normally deliver revenue, to help us put together the tender response documents to some of the transformational deals we've had success with. If you've been watching the RNS releases recently, we've been announcing a number of new deals, including our two largest ever contract wins in the last few weeks. So achieved all these stats whilst investing for the future. And because of these big deals, we've now upgraded forecasts twice in the year. I think this slide probably speaks for itself, but here are some proof points that our strategy is working. We've had some big transformational deals, and just the ones listed on this slide add up to 16 million and adds over 2 million of annual recurring license revenue. The National Underground Asset Register for the UK Geospatial Commission is worth 6.5 million, including 1.5 million of license revenue. DEFRA and the Rural Payments Agency is worth 0.9 million. The HM Land Registry deal is worth 500,000, including 0.4 million of license revenue. And lastly, a deal we won on Monday with the Department of the UK Government is worth 8 million with 6 million of license revenue. And whilst doing all of this, we have also been winning deals in the USA with our repeatable next generation 911 solution, Each of these deals are between 250,000 and 500,000, depending on the size, each with annual license revenue of around 100 to 200,000. Coming back to NUAR, the National Underground Asset Register, the contract is really important for the UK government as it supports the Build Back Better, Greener and Levelling Up agenda for the North. This contract is for the creation of a map of all the UK's underground assets, every water pipe, gas pipe, electric cable. It's difficult to ascertain how we thought we could ever do national planning for something like electric vehicle charging points without something like this. And the UK government put in the Geospatial Commission about 3 years ago to deal with these types of issues. And as well as being used for net zero planning, the initial use case was to avoid accidental underground utility strikes, which currently cost the UK economy 2.9 billion each year. We delivered a winning response against intense competition and won alongside our new partner, Atkins. This is another exciting opportunity with DEFRA and the Rural Payments Agency, where we are seen as the trusted advisor and working with them on the transition to the new environmental land management scheme, which looks to pay subsidies to farmers on a new environmental green basis. And whilst our initial contract of 0.9 million is relatively modest, we see this as a significant customer expansion opportunity for us. We are very pleased with our win with HM Land Registry to create a single digital register across England and Wales. In a nutshell, this will help to make all aspects of conveyancing digital. This is another contract using our One Data Gateway and One Integrate product. You can see why the release of One Data Gateway last year was so important. This is a new customer win for us with HM Land Registry and also the first time we've worked with Landmark as a partner. We announced our largest ever deal on Monday of this week with the Department of the UK Government. We can't provide more details at this stage due to confidentiality, but it is a multi-year digital transformation programme using our core location master data management technology. And this contract is also working with a new high quality partner. And finally, our next generation 911 solution, where we are ensuring the accuracy of data to improve emergency response times and ultimately saving lives. I mentioned at our last presentation that we had won two states in the USA with this solution, and now we've added three more. So we've got five, so there's still 45 to go after. I think it truly is a testament to our technology, where a UK company is winning deals with governments in the USA. With that, I'd like to now hand over to Andy to present the financial review.
Many thanks, Claire. And I will be going through the H1 interim results, but I'll also touch on progress we've made on our three-year growth plan, where we're focusing on growing recurring revenue and really improving the longer-term profitability and cash flow of the business. So just looking at the key numbers, very pleased with all the key metrics we're focusing on. There's a relentless focus now on revenue growth, and term licenses is the key to higher margins. So we're really pleased with the 80% growth in the recognized revenue on term licenses, but also a leading indicator is obviously annualized recurring revenue. The 63% growth in term licenses is very encouraging, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Overall, ARR, another key metric we introduced at the end of last year, that's up 12% over the last 12 months. So these are really good, important leading indicators of potential future revenue growth. Overall, the revenue nevertheless grew 8%, and that's actually 11% at constant currency. So we're back to double-digit revenue growth, and recurring revenues were also up 8%. So in a year where we're investing, we also increased adjusted EBITDA, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. So a key focus, as you know, for us is annualized recurring revenues, and very excited about future prospects. As Claire mentioned, we've signed in the last month two of the largest ever contracts we've signed, and those bring good recurring revenue as well as some services revenue. ARR is obviously a leading indicator, and if we focus on the term license ARR, this time a year ago, it was 1.3 million, and that increased to 2.1 million, so 63% growth at the end of July. But we've also included in this slide, because it's obviously a significant addition, just after the period end of two significant contracts, which takes the ARR on a pro forma basis to 3.8 million. So that's almost trebling from this time last year. And of course, that feeds into the increase in recurring revenue now, 45% of total revenue from 44% last year. We focus on a number of metrics to demonstrate the quality of our revenue. Another one is renewal rate, which also improved. That's an important metric because we want to keep and grow clients. But also the committed services revenue, which has more than doubled, including the awards we've just described of the two major contracts. So the quality of earnings has really improved since a year ago. Now, just turning to the regional focus, we're focusing all our teams on growing their revenue through focusing on longer term contracts, annual recurring revenue, and, you know, more term license revenue. So it's very pleasing to see revenue growth in all regions. Last year, the UK actually dropped by 4%, so pleased that that's now growing again. But of course, these numbers are looking back at the last 6 months and not reflecting the recent wins. So we expect the growth rate in the UK to improve. US is obviously the star performer, 34% or 48% at constant currency. And again, we continue to expect further growth in the US. Also pleasingly was double-digit growth in Australia. So I won't go through all the detail on the P&L, but in terms of the summary aspects, this has been a period where we've deliberately increased our spending on technology, innovation, and also building up the sales and delivery capacity. Because what we're doing is we're not focusing on short-term profitability, we're looking much more at longer-term growth in profitability and cash generation. And that will come through getting larger deals and getting more recurring revenue. So that's what's reflected in these results. Nevertheless, we did improve the gross margin. And last year, we had some benefit of COVID support from overseas governments of about 0.3 million. And that obviously flattered the results last year. If you strip that out, the gross margin increased from 49% to 51%. Adjusted EBITDA from 11.3 to 14.5. So again, we're looking to make sure we don't go backwards on profitability, but it's much more about building the revenue for growth in profitability in the coming years. So just talking about the cash flow, essentially on a normalized basis, we had a positive operating cash flow of around $1 million, which was similar to last year. If you take out a number of one-off factors, which I'll go through. So this year we had 0.3 million of restructuring cash costs related to last year's restructuring following the acquisition. And also, as I mentioned, we had some COVID support of 0.3 million, which effectively was a grant. But also we had some tax deferrals of 0.4 million, things like VAT, which we were allowed to defer, and we took advantage of that. But of course, you know, some of those are now reversing. So if you strip out those impacts, then the normalized operating cash flow was very similar to last year's first half. What I would also add is that typically the second half is stronger for cash when we have some of the larger renewals. So we're in a good position. And when you generate operating cash, it gives you choices. So we've chosen to invest in the business for growth and increase the R&D spend by about 0.3 million. And we ended the period with net cash of 2.8 million, gross cash of 5.5 million. So finally, from me, what I would say is I'm very pleased with the performance. We're focusing on higher value contracts, which will drive future revenue growth. All the KPIs are in the right direction. And the key thing was we trebled on a pro forma basis the term license ARR over the last 12 months to 3.8 million. Overall, 12% growth in ARR, 8% growth in total revenue, or 11% at constant currency. So we're focusing on double-digit revenue growth. We managed to achieve a 10% increase in adjusted EBITDA while doing all this investment in technology sales and delivery. So very pleased with progress to date. And with that, I will hand back to Claire.
Thanks, Andy. And I'd like to go through our market strategy and why I believe OneSpatial is such an exciting opportunity. I said earlier that there is a transformational market opportunity for OneSpatial solutions. And here is the evidence. This slide shows the key market drivers for growth at OneSpatial. Firstly, the UN Sustainable Development Goals and ESG. There are goals and targets that need to be measured and achieved. And we're helping our clients achieve these green agenda goals. Secondly, government investment initiatives. Governments globally are planning to spend huge amounts building back post-COVID and building back greener. And I've listed just some of the government funding on this slide. And thirdly, the digital economy. COVID has shown all of us how important it is to have access to digital systems and data that is accurate. And without technology, we're ready to support this agenda, both today and in the future. And importantly, we have opportunities in relation to these drivers building up nicely in our sales pipeline. During the last 6 months, we have been delivering on our growth strategy, which has three pillars: innovation, customer relationships, and smart partnerships. Firstly, on innovation, we wanted to build differentiation and increase our addressable market, and we've done that. We've had some great success with our One Data Gateway product, which is a cloud-enabled secure portal to share location data. We knew that data sharing was going to be an industry trend, which is why we developed it and released it last year. Most of the new deals we are winning have incorporated One Data Gateway, and we see this trend continuing. We continued our investment in our core technology, adding 3D capability in One Integrate, and the 3D aspect is now ready for market. And from a recent webinar that we did, we believe this is one of the next big things on our customers' agenda. We also did well in this period to get a patent in the UK for One Integrate, which is a great result as it's not always easy to get technology patents in the UK. And finally, our cloud platform is progressing well to launch early next year. This is very exciting for us as we believe it will really accelerate our growth. It will increase our addressable market as we will be able to offer validation services to a wider range of customers at a different price point. We're calling these validation as a service type of applications. The first one of which is our traffic management plan automation application, but there are a number of others that are in progress. Secondly, customer relationships. We've had successful execution of our land and expand strategy and driving growth for the future, given the amount of annual recurring licenses we've been winning. We've had successful customer wins in all markets, and as well as multiple expansion deals with existing customers. And we also start this current period with a good, strong pipeline of opportunities. And thirdly, smart partnerships. I said that smart partnerships would be important to OneSpatial at our last results presentation. In the period, they've helped us deliver a strong win rate and an uplift in contract values. We've contracted with some new powerful partners such as Atkins and Landmark. These major deals are issued through frameworks that only large companies like Atkins are on. But these companies realise that they need to part with experts in the field to have the best of breed solution. And we provide the expertise and best of breed solution for location master data management. And we've hired a global head of partners who is ex-IBM in the period. And he's a fantastic addition to my team. And we've also continued to strengthen our partner with Esri, the big player in the geospatial market. We've got a really good complementary relationship with them now in all territories, and we're winning lots of awards for the work we are doing with them. So in summary, our strategy is absolutely working, and so we will be sticking to it. So there really is a positive outlook for OneSpatial, and I'd now like to summarise the reasons why I'm very excited by the opportunity. If I haven't convinced you enough yet about our markets, then I'll say it again. There is a transformational market opportunity that OneSpatial could capitalise on. There is massive focus by governments globally to invest in infrastructure and the green agendas. They can drive forward growth for OneSpatial, and our technology is winning in the marketplace. We have long-standing location data expertise. The investment in our technology is delivering results. We've been investing in our location master data management solutions, and I believe we are the only ones that can successfully do what we do, as evidenced by the contracts that we've won in competitive tenders in the UK and USA. And we're not stopping this investment. and we're ensuring that our technology roadmap matches the needs and growth in this industry. And our new SaaS platform, ready in the new year, will also enable us to access new markets and a plethora of new opportunities. And we have a valuable customer base. We've had significant new wins in competitive tenders and won new customers like the Geospatial Commission with NUAR, HM Land Registry, and the large contract for 8 million with the UK government. We've also used our existing customer base to cross-sell and have had success with the likes of the Rural Payments Agency, Google, and Northern Gas Networks. We have a scalable business model where we are leveraging our valuable partners and building scale with repeatable solutions in the USA, which are repeatable across 50 states and potentially across thousands of cities and counties. I mentioned our new SaaS platform earlier. This should enable new revenue models for repeatable solutions. For example, we can offer pricing for validation as a service. And finally, we are strengthening our financial position by significantly increased levels of contracted annual recurring revenues for future periods. And this increase in annual recurring revenues provides increased visibility on future earnings and growth. And on that note, Angie and I would be delighted to take any questions you may have.
Thank you. And we've got a question from Kieran Donnelly at Liberum. Kieran, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Claire, Andy. Congrats. Fantastic set of results. And obviously, with the recent news flow, it's great to see that the performance is starting to come through. I guess just in terms of, particularly with the latest contract winner, it'd be interesting to hear your thoughts around the structure of the contract. Obviously, it's a high proportion of recurring revenues. Do you think that's indicative of kind of the structure of future contracts? And secondly, obviously, major contract wins in the UK. It'd be good to hear kind of your thoughts on the opportunities you see in kind of other geographies and the potential for similar size contracts in those geographies.
Okay, thanks, Kieran. So the recent contract with the UK government, that was said 8 million and almost 6 million of annual recurring revenue. And that is completely, you know, where we want to be. We don't want to be a services consultancy company. We want to sell technology. So all of our aim now is we're selling license and annual recurring revenues. And that's why we're doing the investment in our cloud platform. So I think, you know, in the deals coming up and the pipeline, you know, you will see that sort of change coming through where there is a large proportion of license and it will be sort of term subscription license. So that will be sort of format of our business model going forwards. Obviously, of course, we've got our SaaS platform, which not in the forecast and nothing we haven't, you know, said anything specific about that yet, apart from we've got the platform ready and we've got some ideas of the solutions, but obviously that will change the business model. But at the moment, it's a large amount of term licenses over as long a contract as possible and services around, you know, rules writing. And so that's in the UK, I'd say there are bigger deals in the UK with these big partners, because the slight difference that we have in the UK to, say, the US is that we only really have like one Department of Transport. We have one Environment Agency. Whereas in the US, there's multiples and they have it, you know, state by state and even counties. You know, example, on the 911 solution, every state has a 911 department, but also some of the larger counties and cities. So, you know, I think in the UK, there will still be working with partners. You know, some big deals will still be coming through with partners. But, you know, it won't always be, and as we try and go for as long a deals as possible, but every deal you'll see, I'll hopefully see large amounts of annual recurring revenue. And then in terms of other geographies, I think I've already mentioned, you know, the US is absolutely the key growth geography for us. So, you know, you have 50, you know, repeatable opportunities if you go after every state like we're doing with our 911 solution. So the 911 solution, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is around sort of 100 to 200K annual recurring revenue for license. We'll have some services revenue up front to write some rules, but once those services for those rules are done, that's it on the services side. You just have, you know, that annual recurring revenue going forward. And every time we do a next state with that 911 solution, you get a bit of a learning on that, on the rules writing. So, you know, we might have already 50% of those rules written, so it takes you a bit less time, so potentially a little bit less services, but you're still getting that annual recurring revenue. So we've got a real repeatable solution that we want to just follow around the states. So yeah, it's you know, and as I mentioned before, you know, back to lots of annual recurring revenue, and you know, not as much on the services, although in some deals we might have to do a bit of services.
No, that's brilliant. Thanks, and congrats again on a great set of results.
Thanks, Kieran.
And following on from that, I've got a written question here. Is the sales pipeline skewed towards any particular geography or end market?
I'd say the pipeline is skewed towards government because we've got we've had these big contracts, and we've still got some good contracts in there. And you know, most of the stuff in the US is government based. And in terms of geography, I'd say it's probably, Bob, and you can chip in here, I think it's probably the US, which has the biggest pipeline.
Yeah, US, and, you know, but there's the sort of growing pipelines everywhere. You know, one of the focuses, particularly in Europe, is to try and move more towards commercial clients. So, for example, we won this contract with Vinci on the highways. A lot of the clients in Europe are sort of municipalities. And so we're trying to shift a little bit more to higher value commercial deals in Europe. But yeah, all the pipelines are looking good. And also Australia, although it's a much smaller market, that's got a good pipeline as well.
Thank you. Are there any areas of strategy you could accelerate through M&A?
I would say potentially extra market access to it for us. So could be in the US, an acquisition there. You know, we're open. We're always sort of have our eyes open, but we really want to prove that we can grow organically this year, which we've done. We've grown by 11%. But I mean, if the right opportunity arose for some market access, that would be something that we could look at. I mean, we're looking now, particularly with the work we're doing on 3D, we're seeing a bit of a shift of some of our clients wanting to do more on indoor location. So we're getting some deals through around facilities management, some of the work we've done with Google's around their facilities management. So yeah, that could be another sector that we could look at. But I would say market access more than necessarily than technology, if the right one came along.
And just adding to that, you know, again, reiterating, you know, the focus is to prove we can do organic growth. But, you know, obviously we're open to any potential acquisitions if they make sense. But the other thing I'd add is that, you know, one of the ways we think we can really grow rapidly, and we've demonstrated it in this first half, is through partners. Yeah. You know, these companies are typically much bigger than we are and have lots of other clients. So we're, you know, getting the benefit of leveraging their distribution. So that's another focus for us.
Thank you. And James Lockyer from Peel Hunt asks, can you give us an idea of who you generally compete with and what are the main reasons when you win and lose tenders?
Yeah, that's a really always interesting question. You know, where we are today with what we do in location data and the scale and the way we do it in such a controlled manner, you know, we find that companies do try and do it, but that they often then come back to us. You know, like Google, you know, they sent their data for their facilities management to be cleaned out to India. It came back. We put it through our rules engine and showed them that in 10 seconds, pretty much, that we found all these errors in their data. So, you know, you can find, you know, so maybe sort of offshore outsourcing or people that have do potentially standard data, so may not do so much geospatial data, that do standard data, that believe that they can cope with geospatial data. But you know, we often end up getting that work back because it is quite complicated. You know, we occasionally go, you know, we're sometimes bidding for the same work occasionally as Esri, but we've really found, you know, there's a little bit of a Venn diagram, there's a little bit of overlap, but you know, usually we've really found our way with them now. So as I mentioned in my presentation, we're sort of quite complementary. So we tend to do the data side, the data management, the data integration, and actually then they can put that into their systems, which then they use for doing digital twins and all of that sort of thing. And you know, then on the, you know, where we're working with partners, we are almost being selective of the partner that we want to work with. So for Nuar, It was on a big contracting vehicle. So apart from Atkins, I believe there is Accenture, Deloitte, the other big sort of main systems integrators were on there. And we chose to go with Atkins. We had everyone approach us because we'd done the proof of concept 18 months ago. And we decided upon Atkins because we believed that we just gelled with them. We felt that they were the most engaged with us and we had the best chance. So, I think, what's winning now, customers don't like necessarily one company saying that they can do everything, because that's not necessarily true. So some of these big contracts, 30, 40 million pounds, not everyone can do everything. So one partner will do the overall big system with the security. And then we will do our part of it, which is all around the geospatial data management and the cleaning and the bringing it all together through Don Data Go portal. So that's sort of really how we're winning. And, the competition is just, it's really strange. And in the US, we get a lot of sole source because we do a small proof of concept with a state. They see what benefit that our technology has. We don't usually end up having to go for major contracts. It's often a sole source basis. So it's getting the proof points with the technology, really, that's really key for us. I'm just trying to think of anything else in terms of partners. France is probably the most competitive in terms of, Andy mentioned before, we have some small municipalities and they have some, we build applications on top of the Esri platform in France to sell, which, the customer's getting, a brilliant app on top of a world-class platform there. But sometimes, because of money reasons, a municipality might go for open source. So the most competitive sort of head-to-head market, I would say, is on these apps in France. But really what we do on the location master data management, it's a real mixture.
And I think just adding to all that, I think is, just basically our technology is just very good and people recognize this. We've invested a lot in it. We've got this patent and it is very good, particularly at dealing with, high volumes of complex geospatial data, and not many people can do it. So we don't want to get complacent, because obviously competitors can appear from nowhere. But the combination of our great technology plus the skill that we've built in terms of the knowledge within the team, it's quite a good combination. So it's a big barrier to entry for anyone else.
Great, thank you. And that's the end of questions. Claire, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I'll reiterate my sort of final comments, really. I think, we've got a great plan. We've got a fantastic market opportunity. We've got some brilliant technology. We've got some brilliant people. We know it's all about growing the annual recurring revenues. And we're just really excited about the long term. We really think we've got something here and, we're just going to go for it. So I think that's it from me.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.